Please rise. Our text is from the book of Romans, beginning at the 19th verse. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and it's in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord given to us this day. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, today justice is a hot issue. We hear about justice all the time. With what is occurring in our society today, we may doubt that our American judicial system is even capable of delivering justice. We rightly so, each of us, we have our own opinions, whether they be right or whether they be wrong. Yet we do have our opinions. Yet as events unfold, all we want is that the lawbreakers be fairly tried. Yes, that is a must in our judicial system. And that if they are found guilty by a jury of peers, that they be punished. Yet when justice becomes personal, we want justice right now. Yes, we want a fair wage. We want equal treatment under the law. And we want a fair, objective system. We not only want it for ourselves, but we should want it for everyone. Yet there are some who want and even expect special privileges. But most of us are very content with getting what we have coming to us. St. Paul today in our gospel lesson is relating to us in the epistle the very truth of what Jesus is talking about. Paul has been writing about obedience. Remember the word obedience that you heard? That word was in the text just before our epistle lesson that you've heard read. In part, Paul is describing the urgency of holy living, of putting away sin, and resisting temptation. On the other hand, you should know that Paul is using that word obedience in two very distinct ways. First, it's certainly about behavior and conforming one's life to God's law. But the second concerns having an obedient faith. This leads me to a question. Do you really want what's coming to you? As a Christian, your answer should be an emphatic yes. Because as a Christian, what you have coming to you is what you have been freely given by your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You heard that in the text today. What you have been given is eternal life. But you know, my question could be changed in a little bit to ask this way. Maybe I should ask, do you really want what you truly deserve? For every believer, for every Christian, the answer to that question must be an emphatic no. Why? Because what all of us deserve is everlasting condemnation, eternal separation from God, from our Lord and from our Creator. What we actually want is what we actually deserve. The first step, of course, is understanding our text and to take it seriously. What the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write is this. Paul is speaking in human terms because of our natural limitations. What does that mean? The classic Lutheran question, what does that mean? What Paul is saying does not necessarily sound to you like what he intends to say. Please, please, please pay close attention. And think about what's being said. Paul is using the closest human comparison possible so he can illustrate or explain the truth of the Holy Gospel. My dear brother and sister, here's the truth. Freedom in this world is never, ever absolute. And our slavery to sin is more complete, it is more deep, and is more painstaking than we can even understand. Though many have tried throughout the centuries, man cannot, certainly cannot, control the heart or mind of another. For a time, one can force another to obey, instill the fear of punishment upon a person, and for a time they will obey you. But history proves over and over again that no despot, no dictator, no king or queen can actually control another person's thinking. You cannot make or force another to truly love you or to admire your cause. A person may choose to do that by their own will, by their own thought, and they might even become a zealot for your cause. But it is their decision, not your force. The bottom line is this. No person can make another their absolute slave without his or her cooperation. Sin, however, is another matter. We are corrupt. Sin has become so entangled in our very nature since the fall that we actually lose sight of how deeply corrupt we are. May I use a farming example? Most of you will understand this. You have a bull, and this bull has a genetic mutation. So all of his offspring will have the same genetic mutation. You and I are twisted by nature. Sin has turned us from loving a God who loves us so much that he calls us his crown jewel of creation, that we were even created in his image. But sin has turned us from loving him, and sin has also turned us from loving our neighbor as we should. Sin has turned us into a creature that loves to gaze at oneself. We see our family, we see our neighbors, we see the world, we see even God through this twisted perspective of our wants, of our needs, of our lust, of our personal advantage, our feelings, our guilt, our sin, ourselves. The Latin, and you all know I love Latin, the Latin term explains it very clearly. Curvatus in se. It means that we are curved inwardly on oneself. And that's you and me. It's all about me, myself, and I. And the one who's pulling our strings, the one who actually has us attached as the puppet master, it's not God. The one pulling our strings is actually the devil, the evil one, Satan. We are absolutely his slaves, slaves of sin, which is what Paul has been talking about. We no longer possess the capability by nature to think without sin, to speak without sin, to act in a proper way with proper motives, because our motives are sinful. Worse than that, when sin calls our name, when sin calls out to old Adam is very eager to jump up and say, "How high?" You know this to be the truth from your own experiences. And I know it's the truth from my own experiences. So today we have news about terrorism, about murder, looting, robbing, stealing, ungodliness. It illustrates for us very clearly how man does hideous things to others simply because they are not me, myself, and I. Curvatus in se. This evil in which we were once enslaved by nature certainly deserves death. And the death that Paul is talking about is not physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. But what fruits were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. Yes, Paul is speaking of eternal death. The outcome of our sin is death, for the wages of sin is death. That's what sin merits. That's what sin earns. That's what sin deserves. And it will merit, and it will earn, and it will deserve it without fail. Now that's where the Holy Gospel comes in. The Holy Gospel comes to you, to me. We hear how corrupt we truly are. We hear that sin deserves a death sentence. And the sentence, dear one, the sentence has been carried out. Justice has been done. Not on you or to you, as it should have been. Rather, there was one who took your death sentence unto himself. And he took all your sins unto himself. And he bore the wages of sin on his bloody cross. God died in your place. He suffered your death penalty. And he did this freely because of his love for you. He endured the very torments of the evil one. Jesus endured the torments of hell upon a bloody cross. And because Jesus has died for your sin and my sin, you and I have been redeemed. Our sentence has been commuted, if you will. Actually, it has been declared null and void. Your Father in heaven declares to each of you, not guilty. For my Son has bore your sentence, and my Son has died for you. You are forgiven. Jesus exchanged his righteousness then. He freely gave to you his righteousness as your sin was placed upon him. The free gift, dear one, that you have received is, as Paul has said, eternal life. We all have heard this before. It's kind of a rallying cry for many, and you'll know this very clear. Free at last, free at last. Thank God, free at last. We know that there was a preacher who proclaimed that once, but those words have already been proclaimed for you and for me, done by Jesus upon the cross. He didn't say these exact words, but what he did say is this: it is finished. And when he said, "It is finished," you and I can say, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God, free at last." And that's exactly what happened here upon the cross. Jesus has set you free. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are now a slave, a servant of the Holy One. Since you live in this new life by the power of the Holy Ghost, therefore we are called to humble ourselves and to be guided by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is now our master. And he is, at the same time, dear one, your brother. In the ancient world, that was unheard of. But God does things that the world cannot understand. Yes, we are His servant, but we're also His brother. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. In other words, since you are a slave, a servant of the Holy One, deliberately be God's slave. That may sound a little odd. Maybe I can say it this way. Be purposely Christian. Think about what you do. Think about what you say. And even control yourself, control your mind. Be careful where you go with your mind. And serve Him. Serve Him always, knowing that He who rewards has paid your wage. And the reward that you will receive is His kingdom. So in closing, in the end, you will not get what you deserve. Rather, you'll receive what Jesus has won for you and has freely given to you. The gift of grace and a salvation that, oh dear friend, is so wonderful that it's really indescribable. Yet it's so undeserved, isn't it? Your God has called you to follow Him. He has called you by name. He has showed you His grace and His mercy and His love. And today He announces to you, be purposely Christian. Why? For all your sin, each and every sin is forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.